Welcome to our Bible study on the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also invite you to our in-person Bible study held on Wednesdays at the church in the Fellowship Hall from 5:15 until 6 p.m. Micah's name means, who is like God, and he was from a small village, Moresheth, about 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Some scholars suggest he was a young contemporary of Isaiah, Hosea, and Amos, and that he and Isaiah brought God's message to the people of Judah in the south, while Hosea and Amos took it north to Israel. And by the way, Amos was from a place called Tekoa, which is about 6 miles south of Bethlehem and about 20 miles from Moresheth. And it could be Micah either heard Amos or heard about him when he was growing up. Micah is preoccupied with social justice and is totally independent of political and religious leaders. Times are bad. Assyria has captured Damascus and Samaria. Jerusalem was besieged in 701 BC. But danger was internal too. Leaders accepted bribes. Merchants cheated their customers. Pagan gods were worshipped along with the Lord. Micah preaches about sin and punishment. The people have rejected God, and the coming punishment is due to their sin. But even so, there is hope for the future. A remnant will form the nucleus of a new Israel, and its leader will be a true shepherd, one who brings peace. In Micah chapter 1, verse 1, associates Micah with the reigns of three Judean kings, Jotham from 742 to 735 BC, Ahaz from 735 to 715 BC, and Hezekiah from 715 to 687. Micah probably delivered his message on trip to Jerusalem, not in his hometown. And in Jerusalem, we presume that Isaiah was delivering his prophetic messages at about the same time. But there is no evidence to suggest that the two ever met. Isaiah would have been older, and it is possible, especially if the scholars are right about their backgrounds, that the two would have been in different social classes, but their messages were in complete harmony. Most of you probably know that Micah is known as one of the 12 minor prophets, found at the end of our Old Testament. And most of you know the word minor refers to the length of the book, and is not meant to discount the importance of the message. And even though Micah is a small book towards the end of the Old Testament, many of us are familiar with certain verses from Micah. For example, the promise of peace when nations will beat their swords into plowshares. That's from Micah chapter 4, verse 3. The prophecy of a new ruler to come from the town of Bethlehem that we hear every year in our Hanging of the Greens worship service. From you, O Bethlehem, shall come from me one who is to be ruler in Israel. That comes from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And, of course, our passage today. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? From Micah chapter 6, verse 8. In our passage, verses 1 through 2 introduces the beginning of a prophetic lawsuit against Israel. The mountains and hills have been around a long time. They were present when the covenant was established, and they have witnessed how Israel has broken it. In verse 2, the Lord has a controversy, is better translated as lawsuit or case, to bring against the people. In verses 3 through 5, God presents the case, and there is a play on words in Hebrew. They sound similar, but their meanings are not similar. The words are translated in our Bibles as wearisome or burdensome, and to bring up or to deliver, so that God who delivered or brought up the people from Egypt has now somehow become burdensome to the people. So God recites a short version of the salvation history. In verse 4, we see Miriam listed along with Moses and Aaron, which is very unusual in such a list of God's mighty acts. King Balak had hired Balaam to speak a curse against Israel, but it turned into a blessing, and we read about that in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. And from Shittim to Gilgal likely refers to Joshua and the people of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And the word remember, used in verse 5, means to identify fully with the ancient stories, to know that they are not remote tales from long ago, but are living examples of the ongoing presence and power of God in every age. Verses 6 through 8 make clear what God expects and requires. Verse 6 imagines an individual raising a question for the whole community, very much like an entrance liturgy that we can see at Psalms 15 and Psalm 24, in which after the question, an official, probably a priest, responds to questions about who may approach the holy space and what a person must do to please God and be acceptable. The questions go to ridiculous levels. Thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil, and even allude to a child sacrifice. The questions push beyond the extreme. Verse 8 is a classic response that's similar to what we see in Job chapters 38 through 41 as another example. The people's questions are preoccupied with what they could do to please God through religious ritual and ceremony. And Micah's answer is in good company with other prophets when he clearly states that God is more interested in the way people live their lives than in religious practices. The threefold summary of what God expects lifts up important words. Justice is something that people do. It is not enough to wish for justice or complain because justice is lacking. God's people are called to work for fairness and equality for all, particularly the weak and the powerless, who are exploited by others. Kindness. Some translations say mercy, but the Hebrew word is hesed, and it is difficult to translate into any single English word. It is a relationship word. It has the connotation of getting inside someone's skin, just as we might say, put yourself in my shoes. The feeling is one of a changed perspective. It has to do with love, loyalty, and faithfulness. Israel is to love God, not out of duty or fear of punishment, but as God loves Israel, with no resentment or manipulation or coercion. It's not only an activity, it is an attitude. Walk means to be careful to put God first in all things, and to live in conformity with God's will. Our pilgrimage is likened to a walk with God as a constant companion. In conclusion, if we are in right relationship with God, that is, walking humbly with God, then we do not need to worry too much about what to do to win God's approval or forgiveness for sinful indiscretions. If we are not right with God, i.e. not walking with God, then no amount of liturgical ceremony, sacrifice, act of generosity will be sufficient. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.